so much, Chris. It's been a long, long time since I've heard that song. Isn't that a great song with a great message? Good to see everybody tonight. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, choir, for the great song tonight, all the good singing. I'm glad that each one of you are here tonight, and I hope everybody's had a wonderful, wonderful day today. How many of you brought your Bibles with you tonight? All right, let's see them. Let's see them. All right, okay, thank you. God bless you. You know, there was a day not that many years ago. There were only two. You'd either see black Bibles or a few red ones every once in a while, maybe a brown one, but that was it. And now you look out and you see purple, pink, and orange, and green, and every color under the sun. The main thing, though, is what's inside of it. Amen? That is the important thing. Well, I tell you, I want to encourage everybody to keep praying and keep inviting and keep bringing. We've got two more nights scheduled yet, and we're trusting God to continue to work in our midst and in our hearts. Amen and amen. Well, I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles tonight to start with to the book of Job, chapter 14. Job, chapter 14, verse 10. Job 14, verse 10. It's very rare. There have been a few occasions. But it's very rare that I preach a revival when I do not preach on this subject that I'm going to deal with tonight. I have several different messages on this subject. In fact, I've got a brand new one I'm working on, Brother Chad, on the table at your house right now that I've been working on for about 2 weeks on the passage in Luke 16, which we'll look at a little bit later. And I'm just not through with it yet. It's same passage, same subject, an entirely different message. And I'm anxious to get it done and get it to where I want it so I can start preaching it. But this is a message the Lord's put on my heart tonight. Job chapter 14, verse 10. When you find that, would you please stand with me out of honor and reverence for the reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Job 14, verse 10 is in the form of a question. He said, if man dieth and wastes away, and yea, man gives up the ghost or the spirit, where is it? I'm going to read it again. He said, if man dies and wastes away and gives up the ghost, where is it? In other words, he's saying, where are the dead? And that's what I want to speak to you about tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time to come into this place and come into your presence tonight. Lord, we're grateful that we're able to do that. Father, we thank you tonight for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who over 2,000 years ago went to Calvary's cross and suffered and bled and died upon that cross and took all of our judgment in his body and paid our sin debt in full. And Father, we thank you tonight that through him we can be saved and we can be forgiven and we can be certain of heaven and eternal life. And Father, tonight I pray as we reflect upon that, that your Spirit might speak to hearts. Lord, remind us that there is an eternity. There's an eternity for those who die saved, and there's an eternity for those who die unsaved. And Father, I pray tonight that you would speak to hearts. If there be anybody here tonight that's lost, who's never been born again, I pray the Spirit of God would arrest their heart. And God, that you might convict them and draw them to Jesus tonight. But Lord, I preach on this subject just as much for the church, just as much for the Christian as I do for the unsaved. And Father, I pray you would burden our hearts tonight over the lost and those who are without Christ. So Father, may Jesus be lifted up, may he be honored, may he be glorified tonight. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, the Bible teaches that every human being is going to live forever. That's called immortality. Bible talks about that. But don't confuse immortality with eternal life because they're not the same thing. Although every human being is going to live forever, Only those who have personally received Jesus Christ into their heart as their Lord and Savior and been born again receive eternal life. If you die unsaved, your immortality will cause you to go on living in an awful place called hell, separated from God for all of eternity. You see, there was a time for each one of us that we did not exist. But at the moment of conception, I want to stress that, can I get an amen in the house? You became a living soul. And so there'll never be a time again, ever, that you will cease to be. When you die, you're just going to go right on living. So Job asked the question. He said, if man dies and wastes away, and he gives up the ghost, or he gives up his spirit, he's saying, where is it? In other words, he's saying, when a person dies, what happens to them? Where do they go? Where are the dead? You know, people have been trying to figure that out for centuries. Men have debated it for centuries. And yet the Bible is very, very clear and very specific about what happens to you after you die. There are some, those who do not believe the Bible, those who are critics of the Bible, who believe that nothing happens after you die, that you just die and you're put in the ground and that's it, and you no longer exist. That's called annihilation. Some believe in what you call a soul sleep or an unconscious state. But the Bible never teaches any of those things. Think about this. Every person that's ever lived and ever died is still alive right now. Every single one. And by the way, friends, the statistics are out. One out of one are going to die. Amen? I mean, unless Jesus comes back first in your lifetime, and by the way, that's a very good possibility. You are going to die. 86 people die every minute. 5,000 people die every hour. 120,000 people die every single day, and they go off into eternity, most of them without Christ. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And you know, every time we pass by a cemetery, it's a reminder that verse is true. Every time we attend a funeral, it's a reminder that verse is true. Every time you read an obituary in the newspaper, it's a reminder that verse is true. It is appointed unto man once to die. So everyone's going to die. And yet we're still going to live. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Now, what we need to understand tonight is that man is made up of three parts. We have a body, that's this fleshly part of us, and we have a soul, and we have a spirit. All right? That's that three parts. When you die, all that dies is the physical part of you. Amen? James chapter 2, verse 26 tells us that. It says, as the body without the spirit, it is dead. And because you are a living soul, you have a spirit, that's the real you. That part will continue to live. Because you see, this body's just an earth suit. That's all it is. It's an earth suit. That's what it's for. It's going to die, but the real you is going to continue to live. So physical death is just separation of the body from the spirit. But then the Bible talks about another kind of death. You say, what's that, preacher? That is spiritual death. What is that? That's the condition of every person on this side of eternity, separated from God. Amen. In other words, if you're not saved, if you haven't been born again, if you haven't given your heart and life to Christ, this describes you right now. Ephesians 2 verse 1 said you are dead in trespasses and sin. And what that means is you have no spiritual life about you whatsoever. Amen? No spiritual life whatsoever. You're dead to God. You're dead to the things of God. And that's why Jesus said you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. You need to be born of God and made a new creature. Amen? But then the Bible talks about another kind of death. That's eternal death. You say, what's that? Revelation 20:14 says, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the eternal hell. It's the final hell. It hadn't been opened yet, that one. And it says, this is the second death. And that's the separation of the body, soul, and the spirit forever in the lake of fire. So what I want to do tonight is I want us to answer the question that Job asked, and in chapter 14 and verse 10, where are the dead? And I want us to go to what I believe is probably the clearest passage of Scripture in the whole Bible. And I want us to look at the story Jesus told about two men. Both of them live, both of them die, and both of them go off into eternity. It's the story that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus. So let's look at it in Luke chapter 16 tonight. Luke 16, beginning at verse 19. My message has two main points to it tonight as we think about where are the dead. In verse 19, Jesus said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And more of the dogs came and licked his sores. Now look at verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. So let's answer that question tonight. Where are the dead? All right. First of all, let's talk about the saved. All right. The saved tonight are in heaven. Can I get an amen tonight? The saved are in heaven. You see, Jesus tells the story here about this man named Lazarus. Lazarus was a beggar. Lazarus didn't have a penny to his name. He did not own a home. He didn't have a place to live. The only friends that he had were the dogs that came and licked his sores. The only food that he had were the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And the Bible says that when he died, that angels came and they carried him into Abraham's bosom to be by the side of Abraham. Now friend, for a Jew to be with Abraham would be to be with the Lord, to be in heaven. Amen? And the Jews gave this place that name, Abraham's bosom. And it said that the rich man died, and it just says that he was buried. Now, I want to stress something here before I give you explanation for all of this. This man goes to be in Abraham's bosom in the paradise, which today would be heaven. He goes there not because he's a poor man, not because he's homeless, not because he's a beggar, but because he's saved. Amen? That's why. That's why. And we need to understand that tonight. You say, well, what is all this stuff about Abraham's bosom, preacher? Well, scholars debate on this somewhat, but I'm pretty much settled. I'm not a scholar, but I'm pretty much settled on what I believe about this passage. And the Scofield Study Bible, a lot of you have that Bible, in my opinion, gives the best explanation of this than any study Bible there is. And it simply tells us this, that most Bible scholars believe that before the cross, before Jesus died on the cross, before he was resurrected, before he ascended back to heaven, that when people died, they went into a place called Hades. And Hades was divided into two compartments. And Hades just actually meant place of departed spirits. Alright, place of departed spirits. Their body would go to the grave, but their spirit, their soul, would go to Hades. And Hades was divided into two sections. You had the paradise, which Jesus later calls it paradise. The Jews began to call it Abraham's bosom, to be with Abraham, but it's actually paradise, alright? And that was the section of the righteous. That was the section of the godly. And that's very obvious, that's very evident in this passage of Scripture. And then you had the other section, which was torments, which the Bible, the King James, correctly interprets as hell. All right? And you had those two sections, and that was the section for the unrighteous. Now, most Bible scholars believe that when Jesus died on the cross, and when he was resurrected from the dead, and before he ascended back to heaven, according to Ephesians chapter 4, that he descended into paradise. He descended into Abraham's bosom, and he emptied out paradise. He took the spirits of those with him to heaven. Amen? So therefore, paradise, or Abraham's bosom, is no longer occupied today. Alright? Hell is still occupied today. Now, there's a final hell waiting that's not been opened yet. Revelation 20, the lake of fire. That's the final hell. That's the eternal hell. But this is the temporary hell. So I was trying to explain this to somebody one time. They said, man, I just don't get it. I said, here's a good what? I said, think of a jailhouse and a prison. Amen? A jailhouse and a prison. Well, paradise has been emptied out. And so today, when a born-again believer dies, friend, you know where a born-again believer goes today? We go to heaven. Amen? And one day, there's even going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be what? Present with the Lord. And friend, that's supported all throughout the Bible. When a Christian dies, when we take our last breath, when our heart takes its last beat, immediately we go to heaven. We don't have to wait on a judgment day. We don't have to wait on the resurrection of the body. We don't have to wait on the return of Christ. But immediately, we are ushered into the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I don't know about you, but that gives me a lot of comfort tonight. Amen? It really does. Philippians 1 verse 21, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." You see, a believer gains when we die. Because we're ushered into the presence of the Lord forever. And here's this poor beggar who didn't have a thing on this earth, and yet now he's walking on the streets of glory. Amen? You know, my dad, I'm looking forward to heaven. I got a lot of folks up there. Both my parents, my mom and dad, are in heaven. My dad died back in 1999. I led him to the Lord, actually. My mom died in 2006. I preached both their funerals, both of them. My wife's parents are both in heaven. My wife led her dad to the Lord on his front porch one day. And I preached their funerals. I have two brothers in heaven. I have a brother that I don't even remember. I was 2 years old when he died. He was 6 years old. He had leukemia. And he died of leukemia in the hospital. And I don't remember him. I've only seen pictures of him. But one day, I'll get to meet him. Amen? And then I got another brother, a little brother, who just a few years ago, he was 44 years old. He was over in Branson, Missouri. And he got in the wrong place at the wrong time with somebody. And they pulled out a gun. My little brother was unarmed. And they pulled out a gun and shot my little brother and killed him right on the spot. I preached his funeral. He was 44 years old. He got saved in a revival.
Wow.
I baptized him. But one day I'll get to see them again.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And then we can go on and on. And many of you are in that same boat, that you have loved ones that are waiting there for you. And that makes heaven even a little bit more precious to you. Amen? You know, over in Luke chapter 23, the thief on the cross, remember Jesus was crucified in between two thieves. One of them believed on Jesus and trusted him. And got saved that day while he's nailed to the cross. The other one's in hell tonight. And remember the one said, "Lord," he said, "remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He didn't say, "not some other time, not some other place." He said, "Today you'll be with me." I think about John chapter 11 verse 25 and 26. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live again." I think about Stephen. He was the first martyr of the early church, by the way. And it's very common back in the first centuries for Christians to be martyred. And by the way, if the Lord Jesus tarries his coming much longer, it's going to be very common here too.
Yeah.
And he got martyred for preaching the gospel. And they said as they were throwing the stones at him, killing him, that he looked up toward heaven and he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." So he was looking up toward heaven. So it's obvious when a believer dies, immediately we go to heaven. Amen?
Yeah.
Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Friend, we don't go to no purgatory because there ain't no such thing. Can I get an amen? We don't go to some holding place because there isn't no holding place. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know, a popular funeral passage is John chapter 14, isn't it, Brother Jay? And boy, it's a great passage because it's so comforting. And you know, if you study the context of that passage, Jesus had spent 3 years pouring his life into those disciples. And he was trying to prepare them. He was getting ready to go to the cross to die for the sins of the world and go back to heaven. And they couldn't grasp that yet. They just, at that point in their life, they They just couldn't understand that yet. Remember what Jesus said beginning at verse 1? He said, let not your hearts be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. And remember old Thomas said, well, Lord, how can we know the way? And Jesus said in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no one comes to the Father but by me. Amen. See, Jesus didn't sound a way to heaven. He didn't sound one of many ways to heaven. He didn't even sound the best way to heaven. He said, I'm the way, period. There's no other way except through Jesus. There's no other way except through the cross. There's no other way except through the blood. Friend, if you want to come to Christ, you got to come the narrow way. So where are the dead tonight? Well, the saved are with the Lord. Amen? The saved or in heaven. You say, preacher, that somebody said the Bible talks about three heavens. That isn't true, is it? Yeah, it is true. It's in the scriptures. There are three heavens. The first one is the atmospheric heaven. That's the sky that we see, the air that we breathe. And then there's a second heaven, and that houses the sun and the star and the moon and the galaxies and all the planets. And then there's the third heaven. That's the one we sing about. That's the one we preach about. That's the one we're getting ready for. Amen. I like what that black preacher, old Tony Evans, down in Dallas said. He said, Christians don't die. He said, we just go home. Isn't that right? That's what the psalmist said. Psalms 23, verse 6. He said, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, friend, what about you? Have you made those preparations yet? Do you have complete assurance in your heart tonight that if you were to die right now, that you would go to heaven? Friend, has there ever been a time in your life when you repented and turned from your sin and turned to Christ and by faith received Jesus into your heart and life to be your Lord and Savior? That's what it takes. How many of you ever heard of that great preacher, R.G. Lee? R.G. Lee. All right. Well, you need to look him up. One of the greatest preachers ever walked on this earth. And R.G. Lee, I heard him tell the story. Now, I didn't hear him personally. I heard this on a tape. I heard him tell the story about one time he was called to this young couple's house late at night. They had a little infant baby that was dying. And they said, Dr. Lee, could you come and minister to the family? He said, sir. He got there as soon as he could. He said he walked in that house. He said, that couple was just so heartbroken. And he said he really didn't have words to say. He said he just stood there for a long, long time. And he said he just wept with them. And finally, he said he prayed with them. And he said, listen, he said, I must go. He said, if you need me, he said, please call for me. So he prayed with them and he left. He said he wasn't gone no time. And they called for him. They said, Dr. Lee, the baby's gone. The baby's gone. Did you come back to the house? He said, certainly. He said he walked into that house. He said he'll never forget this sight. He said there was this precious little couple, young couple, sitting in a rocking chair together with a little dead infant upon her breast. And he said they were rocking that little baby. They were singing to that little baby. They were hugging on that baby. And he said he stood there for a long, long, long time, just not knowing what to say. And he said all of a sudden the funeral home people showed up. They knocked on the door and they invited them in. It's the funeral home people. And he said, the woman, the young lady, turned and she saw the funeral director and she said, Dr. Lee. She said, Dr. Lee, don't let them take my baby. Don't let them take my baby. Let me have him just one more night. And Dr. Lee had quite a bit of influence. And he turned to the funeral director and he said, one more night. And they said, sir. And they went out to the hearse and they had these little white shawls that the ladies in the local churches would knit for little babies when they died. And they brought in a little white shawl and that couple for one more night had that baby. One more night they wrapped up that little baby and they rocked that baby. They sung to that baby. They loved on that baby. They kissed on that baby. And Dr. Lee told that story simply to say this. He said it won't be that way in heaven. He said they had him for one more night on earth, but in heaven it will be for all eternity. Amen.
That's right.
So where are the dead tonight?
Yeah.
Saved or with the Lord. But the unsaved are in hell. Let's continue on back in Luke 16. Let's pick back up where we left off at. Well, let's back up to verse 22. It says, it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. He was buried. It's talking about his body. Now look at verse 23. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And said, Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And besides this, between us and you a great gulf is fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass us that would come from thence. So the rich man went to hell. And I want to stress something. He didn't go to hell because he was rich.
No.
He went to hell because he was lost. Because he wasn't saved. Amen? My friends, it's not sins, plural, that sends anybody to hell. It's sin, singular. You reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you could be the best person on earth, at least in your opinion, but if you die without Christ, you're going to hell under no other condition. Amen? That's the way it's going to be. And nothing's going to change that. You say, preacher, do you believe that hell is literal? Absolutely I do, because Jesus obviously believed it was literal. And by the way, Jesus preached about hell more than he did about heaven. A lot more about hell than he did about heaven. And Jesus preached about hell more than anybody else in the Bible did. The loving Savior did. More than anybody else. Why? Because he does love us. And to warn us so we would not go to that place. So what is hell going to be like? Well, I think we just get a glimpse of it. Just a glimpse of it from this passage of scripture here. So let me show you a few things and then we'll give the invitation. All right. First of all, hell is going to be a place of unimaginable sufferings.
Yeah.
Unimaginable sufferings. Listen, friend, there is no pain. There is no agony. There is no torture on this earth that could even begin to compare to the sufferings of hell. In Revelation chapter 20, it's called the lake of fire. And this man is on fire. And he cannot be consumed. He cannot die. Not even for an hour. Not even for a minute. Not even for a second. There'll never be any relief in hell. Amen? Old Charles Spurgeon, old Prince of Preachers years ago, said this about hell. He said, there is a real hell fire. Except this fire will not consume you. It says your body will burn forever unconsumed.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how awful that would be? Hell is a place of unimaginable sufferings. And friend, if an angel was to go to that man right now and say, sir, you've got only a million more years. Only a million more years in hell we're going to let you out. He'd fall on his face and he'd praise God, say, I've only got a million more years. But it won't be a million. It'll be another million and another million and another million. And then it'll be a billion and another billion and another billion. And then it'll be a trillion and another trillion and another trillion. Because you see, hell is just like heaven. It's for all of eternity. Amen.
Yeah.
I've heard preachers preach on hell as if they were bad people were going there. Man, I don't want anybody. Man, my heart breaks for those that don't know Jesus. This is a warning. I don't want to see anybody to go to hell. And friends, our hearts ought to be broken. Amen? Jesus died so people would not have to go to hell. I heard about a truck driver that flipped his 18-wheeler out of one of our interstates and he got trapped inside the cab and the truck caught on fire. And he couldn't get out. And several bystanders stopped on the interstate to try to help him. And he began to scream and he said, get me out of this truck. He said, get me out of this truck before it explodes. And they couldn't get him out. And finally began to scream. He said, somebody get a gun and just shoot me. He said, don't let me burn to death inside this cab. They said they couldn't even get close to the truck. All of a sudden it exploded in flames. And they said as they stood in the middle of that interstate, they could hear the screams of that man as he screamed in agony, as he burned to death inside the cab of that truck. Friends, awful as that is, that's absolutely nothing compared to the suffering.
Right.
Nothing. Hell's going to be a place of unimaginable suffering. I'll tell you something else about hell. It's a place of separation. He says, there's a great gulf fixed here. We can't come to you. You can't come to us. Friend, you think about it. If you die without Christ and go to hell, you'll be separated from family and friends and loved ones for all of eternity. I've had people tell me before, particularly young people tell me, they say, hey, listen, I'm going to have a lot of friends there, and we're just going to have one party after another, and we're going to have a good time. I want you to hear me tonight. There won't be any parties in hell. There won't be any good time in hell. You won't have any friends in hell. Amen? In fact, you die and go to hell, friend, you'll be an intruder in hell. And friend, the forgiveness and mercy of God doesn't travel to the city limits of hell. There's no second chance in hell. There's no hope in hell. There's nothing ever to look forward to in hell. You'll never have another kind word spoken to you again. You'll never have a good day. There'll never be an encouragement. But friend, the worst thing about hell is you're separated from God. Forever. Forever. In fact, you die and go to hell, you're abandoned from God. Forever. I'll tell you something else about hell. It's a place where there's no salvation. Nobody's going to get saved in hell. Amen? He says, great gulf fixed. If it'll be too late. When you die without Christ, friend, 1 second after you die, it's too late. When a person rejects Christ and dies and go to hell, they give up all hope of ever being saved. Friend, you wouldn't want your worst enemy to go to hell. And remember, friend, if you die and go to hell, you're not going to cease to exist. You're not going to go to some holding place. I mean, it's very obvious. This guy's alive, friend. And I'm going to tell you, you die and go to hell, you're going to remember this sermon for all of eternity. It's like it's going to be put on rerun over and over and over. In fact, not only this sermon, every sermon you've ever heard. It's going to ring in your ears for all of eternity. You're going to remember every invitation you turned down. You're going to remember every gospel tract somebody handed to you. You're going to remember every Bible story you heard in Sunday school. You're going to remember every gospel song for all of eternity. But friend, you won't be able to do anything about it because it's too late. There's been a false doctrine floating around since about 300 AD that said a person may die and go to hell, but after they're there a while, that the fires of sins and sin off of them, they can get promoted and get out of there. Friend, that is a fairy tale.
That's right.
You don't find that in the Word of God. Amen? Now, hell's a place without salvation. Friend, if you're going to get saved, you have to get saved now. You see, hell has an easy access, but doesn't have any exit. It's absolutely too late. Let me give you another thing or two about hell. Hell's a place where the soul doesn't die with the body. Isn't that obvious? I mean, did you look at this guy? He's crying out. He said, go send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. I mean, he can speak, he can see, he can feel, he has all the senses, he can remember. I mean, he's alive in this place called hell. But let me give you just one more thing about hell before we finish. Hell's a place of concern for sinners. You say, preacher, I must not have heard you right. You didn't say it was a place of concern for sinners, did you? Yeah. Because look at the last verse, verse 27. He said, then I pray thee therefore, Father, that you send him, talking about Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have 5 brothers, that he may testify to them. That means to witness to them. At least they also come to this place of torment. He's concerned about his family. And Abraham said, well, they had Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. In other words, they have the word of God. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, if one of them went from the dead, they would repent. You see, the whole reason he's there, he wouldn't believe the Bible, wouldn't believe the word of God. And he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Friend, you know, I believe if we could lift the lid off of hell tonight, we'd all be on our face. As we'd hear the screams and the agony from hell.
Yeah.
And we'd hear those people from hell saying, hey, you at that church tonight, you at that revival meeting, you claim to be a Christian, why don't you go to my father's house? He lives right next door to you, and why don't you tell him about Jesus? Why don't you go to my brother's house and tell them they live right down the road from you? You drive past their house every day, and you've never told them about Jesus.
They say, why don't you go see my daughters? Why don't you go see my grandson? Why don't you go see my granddaughter? Why don't you go see my husband? Go see my wife. I plead with you. Go tell them. And as hell cries out, the church, for the most part of the 21st century American church, sets on her hands, and we do absolutely nothing, as most of our world does in those days. Hell's going to be a place of concern for sinners. Well, they're a lot more concerned about them than we are, I can promise you that. So where are the dead tonight? Either in heaven or hell.
Yeah.
Let's make the question more personal. If you were to die right now, right now, in the condition you're in, where are you going to go? Let me help you with your answer. Either heaven or hell.
Right.
Depends on whether you're saved or not. You see, friends, here's how it's going to work one of these days, unless Jesus comes back first. You're going to die. They're going to have a funeral for you. Might be at this church. Might be at a funeral home. I don't know. They have a funeral for you, and you're going to be laid out in a casket, and everybody's going to file by, and they're going to look down at you, and they're going to say what everybody says at a funeral. They're going to say, my, he looks so natural and so peaceful. Isn't that right? No, they don't. They look dead. Amen? They don't look natural. They don't look peaceful. I don't mean any disrespect, but that's just a bunch of baloney. They look dead, and you know it. Amen? As that great theologian Jerry Flower said, graveyard dead. Amen. But they're going to say that because I guess that's what we're supposed to say at funerals, because I hear it every one of them I go to. All right? Then they're going to load up your body, haul you out to the cemetery, drop you down in the hole, put 6 feet of dirt on top of you, put some flowers on top of you. That preacher's going to say a few words over you. The people are going to cry a little bit, and then they're going to get low back in the cars, head back to the church fellowship hall, and they're going to eat fried chicken and potato salad. Isn't that right? But hear me, son. I'm going to get serious now. You won't be there. You're not going to hear a word of that. You won't be at the cemetery. You say, oh yeah, my body. No. You're not getting it. Your body will be there. You won't be there. Amen? You won't be at the funeral. You won't be at the funeral at all. All these nice things that you wait on people to say, you're not going to hear it. You're not going to be there. You won't be there. Won't be anywhere near that place. Because the moment your heart took its last beat, you left the building.
Yeah.
All that's there is a body. Amen. One day there'll be a resurrection. Two resurrections. Resurrection of the just and of the unjust. I'm going to close with this story. I heard about this lady. I don't like to tell this. But I heard about this lady who, she just couldn't cope with life anymore. So she decided to commit suicide. She went home to her little apartment, turned up the knobs on her gas stove all the way to high, until the apartment filled up with fumes. And then she took a match and lit it. When she did, her apartment exploded. She actually survived for 8 days. They took her to the burn center in Houston, Texas. They said they'd never seen anybody burn that bad, live any amount of time. She was burned from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. She was in a coma most of the time before she died. But they said, those who were attending her said she'd come in and out of the coma. And she'd come out of the coma sometimes, and she'd be crying and weeping and screaming in agony. And she'd say, oh, Lord, please just let me die. I hurt so bad. God, please just let me die. Please just let me die. And other times she'd come out of that coma and she'd say, Lord, I want to live. Lord, please let me live. God, I just want to live. Let me live. And other times she'd come out, she said, Lord, I want to die. God, I can't handle this pain. I can't handle this agony anymore. Please let me die. You say, preacher, why would you tell a story like that? Because, friend, you die without Christ and go to that awful place called hell, you won't be able to die.
That's right.
You won't be able to die. You'll live in that condition for all eternity. You know, I saw recently that there's a town up in Michigan called Hell, Michigan. It's tourist trap town. People go there and they get their picture taken in front of the sign, welcome to hell. They buy souvenirs, they get postcards from hell and they send them home. And they said the most popular t-shirt that they sold last year said, I've been to hell and back. Well, friend, you die and go to hell. You're not coming back. Let's bow our heads and close your eyes. Yeah, I don't know if there's anyone here tonight that's lost.